Welcome to Indie Business Radio for Monday, June 9th, 2008. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's show is sponsored by Savannah Black. Wonderful products to enhance your life all the way from Africa. Shea butter is our specialty, and we also have black soap and just in beautiful African drums. Visit www.savannahblack.net for more information. Well, a few years ago, the Forum Corporation, a Boston-based research firm, surveyed 1,624 people and asked them what they thought about customer service. And the results indicated that the most annoying thing company representatives do, and I know you guys can relate to this, is they try to sell people stuff from a script, they push products that aren't useful to them, or they continue to try to sell stuff to them after the customers indicated they're not interested. These are just some of the examples of the things that these people reported were the most annoying and frustrating things about dealing with companies that serve them and the customer service they offered. Just last week, even, I made a phone call to a company. The nice sales rep answered my question and even solved my problem. I was very happy until she said, "Ma'am, would you like to upgrade to our..." You know, and she lost me right there. What has happened to customer service? It's a question a lot of indie business owners are asking in their businesses and their personal lives. Today, we're going to answer that question, and what's more, we're going to provide some solutions you can use in your business to avoid annoying your customers and making them feel like I felt last week. My guest today is Michael D. Brown. He's the author of Fresh Customer Service. From humble beginnings as the seventh of 10 siblings, Michael found creative ways to provide for his family as a youngster. Today, he delivers his fresh customer service message through keynotes, seminars, workshops, and executive retreats. And he's here with us today to share some of his best tips for freshening up your customer service. Welcome to Indie Business Radio, Michael.
Thank you, Donna. It's a pleasure to be here.
We'll take your questions and comments. Do join us, 800-773-0355, or you can email your question to info@indiebusinessradio.com. Michael, 7 of 10, that's a lot.
It helped me to prepare myself for dealing with people and trying to satisfy a number of siblings at one time. Certainly gave me some patience and how to give and take, so... That's been the foundation of understanding what makes people happy and give it to them and give it to them repeatedly and continue to understand the customer so you keep it fresh. And that's kind of the premise of fresh customer service, is learning how to satisfy the customer's needs and stand in tune with the times. And now more than anything, we need to look at our strategy to say, how do we get through this very, very difficult economic downturn, stagflation, upflation. I'm not sure if we've come up with the right term for it now, but mm-hmm. It's difficult.
Whatever it is difficult. You know, Michael, one of the stories in your book, and there are so many good ones, one that just grabbed me by my heart was an experience you had with a woman that you worked with. You worked in her home when you were a youngster that really just sort of seems to have started, the whole course of your life to this fresh customer service message. Can you share that with our listeners?
Well, I'll give you the brief condensed version, as the one in the book is the long version of it. Is I was working as you would call it a cleaning boy and cleaning up, and had a very demanding boss as she was, and no matter what I would do, it never seemed to be good enough. And the relationship became a little bit of an abusive one around yelling and screaming. And something clicked in me to say, don't give up. Try to understand what it is that she's looking for and to exceed that expectation. So that's when I learned the importance of understanding clearly what is it that will make you happy, and began to say, this is how I'm going to get it done. So after a period of 3 to 4 months, I finally was able to get some things right. And though she expressed some disappointment, she had to admit that, well, this is actually pretty good work.
Uh-huh.
So that kind of began that understanding to really listen to the customer and understand what is it that they're looking for, and not what I believe they're looking for, but what is it, trying to understand and get at the heart of the matter with them.
And that frustration that you felt, I would imagine that so many of our listeners also feel that when we're dealing with customers, sometimes it can be, you know, it's work. But your perspective certainly, you know, lends us to remember that all-important word, and that's patience.
And it's in the whole premise around fresh customer service says the people who understands the customers better than anyone is the frontline employee. If you, as a business owner on the front line yourself, you know this better than anyone, you're closer to the customer. And oftentimes when we're creating customer service strategies and solutions, we have a great idea of what we want our business to look like, but we never take the time to say to the people on the front line, is this something that you can embrace and become passionate about? What skills do you need to be able to deliver this? And then check in periodically to say, is what I think the customer experience is going to be actually happening on the front line? That's the disconnect, Donna, is not connecting with those frontline employees when you're building that strategy from the ground up. We build it in a silo and we push it down and say, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread, and you need to smile at the customer and be nice to the customers and give them your heart, and we don't take the time to understand the frontline employee who has to deliver this.
And Michael, what are some of the things that indie business owners who are just starting businesses, or maybe they have a business that they're running and they are the frontline employee, they're the person for the most part that's dealing with the customer, but they don't have any customer service experience, what sorts of things can they put in place as they launch their businesses and wear the 50,000 hats that go along with that to beef up their customer service on the front end?
I think, Donna Marie, when you look at if that entrepreneur is on the front line, is to take some time out of the day. If you're talking to 3 to 5 customers and say to them one simple thing, would you recommend my businesses to your friends?
Okay, so you can do that by calling them or even maybe sending an email?
I would send them an email. I would say to them while they're there, you have some time. A lot of our customers are repeat customers when they're coming in. Would you recommend my business to your friends? Why or why not?
Ooh, now see, that's a scary question. I think a lot of people may be a little bit scared to hear what the response is. So what do you say to people who go, ooh, I'm a little terrified of asking that question. They might throw the book at me.
I think you'd rather hear it than not hear it. You cannot afford not to hear it. Because if the quicker it takes you to hear it, the more people out beyond your business that will have a chance to hear it, and you won't have the opportunity to correct it. Because they're going to tell somebody. Customers don't stay quiet. You would rather for them to tell you so you can correct it or go and tell 20 other people.
And, Michael, you know, in today's technologically evolving marketplace where there are so many blogs and forums and discussion places and MySpace and YouTube where people can go to leave their comments, you know, is that another reason to beef up your outreach so it comes directly from you?
I can tell you, there are a number of people, and you may be one of them, I'm certainly one, who are really influenced by what you see in blogs. We were building a pool and had a number of pool company that we were going to go with, and they had several negative reviews in a blog. And the inclination to me was, I'm not sure about this. But buried in each of those blogs periodically was this company that people kept praising. Sure enough, we called them up as one of the companies we interviewed, and they delivered on everything that was said in those blogs around the focus on the customer, the level of detail. And they had no idea that they were out in cyber world and people were blogging about them.
Wow.
And so when you go online to buy something, a lot of people now scroll right down to the reviews.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are other people saying?
Right, because that's so real time, and it's not colored by the company. There was a big thing in the papers not too long ago about one of the hotel review companies that seemed to be people were calling into question whether the reviews were actually written by real people or whether people were paid to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of that going on. So the best place to go is where you can get it that way. We're going to take our first break. And we're going to come back and talk with Michael Moore about his great book, Fresh Customer Service. And he's going to answer some questions about how we can provide the best customer service to our customers. If you have a question or comment that you'd like to ask, we want you to feel free to give us a call, 800-773-0355. This is Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're here today with author Michael D. Brown. He wrote Fresh Customer Service, which is a wonderful book that gives information and even real-life examples about how we can beef up our customer service and make it fresh, exciting, memorable, and most of all, lead to repeat sales from our customers. One of the things that Michael's book shares with us is his recommendation that our approach to customer service should be putting employees first and customers second. Michael, why is that?
You know, that was the question when we first began to write the book, and people said, oh, you can't do that. And what I drew on, Donna Marie, is 15 years in corporate America working for Fortune 100 companies. And they would always say, how can you get results that are exponential? I would go in and turn businesses around and deliver 40-45% increases within the first 6 months. But it was underneath the table, because at that time it was you needed to walk the corporate line and you dare not do anything different. But what they did not prescribe was there was nothing to say you couldn't take care of your employees and motivate your employees and do this bit. So I started doing that. Never really understood the impact that it was having until employees used to come back and tell me once I would leave and go on to the next company, is it was the way you empowered us and the way you made sure we had what we needed to deliver on the front line. That was the importance of really understanding, take care of the employees first. They will take care of the customer, and the bottom line will take care of itself. What we've done with put the customer first is, okay, I don't really care about how I treat the employee, but I still want you to go out and smile and be happy to the customer and give your best. Uh-huh. Well, we're humans.
Right.
There's a disconnect there. So we think enough of the customer to take care of them, but not the employee. And employees begin to understand the disconnect, and it doesn't feel good.
So now, most people think that empowering their employees is an expensive process, and it doesn't have to be, does it?
It really doesn't. One of the things that frustrate employees the most is when they get an irate customer on the front line, and most of us have been through this, they can't solve the problem. And the customer says, I want to see the manager, and you come right up, and within 5 seconds, you give the customer what they want.
Uh-huh.
And that employee is sitting there feeling like, wow, why couldn't I have done that? Now the customer is even more irate because you've taken their precious time away. The way the economy is going now, and people are starved for time, they don't have a lot of money to spend, and they're very selective on where they spend their money. They want the experience right. They want it right the first time, and there's no better person to do that than the person on the front line. So we need to make sure our frontline employees understand the customer experience we're trying to deliver, empower and equip them with the tools to be able to deliver, continue to involve them in the process so that we keep it fresh as the times change. That's when you deliver customer service that's going to enhance your bottom line.
And part of your point, too, is that when you empower those employees, of course, you tell them the proper response to specific questions, but you also treat them like they're valuable. It makes me think of a indie member that I work with who every couple of weeks in the summertime has a picnic in the backyard where the office facility is, and they bring out the grill, and that seems to, according to her, go a really long way toward, it's not really directly empowering the customers to handle customers, or the employees to handle customers, but it just kind of gives them, you know, a boost and a lift, and it lifts their morale and makes them feel better. Can it be something as simple as ordering a pizza every couple of days for your employees?
You know, I'll give you a quick example. We talk about this in the book. Delta Airlines 2 years ago couldn't figure out why their customer service was declining. Airfares had not gone up as they are today.
Mm-hmm.
And they changed out their employee uniforms and saw a 40% decrease in customer complaints. The CEO came out and said that it was because when employees are happy about what they have on, for one example, they're happier to the customer. So they had, if you remember, Delta has these very rigid uniforms that are not comfortable to travel in. So if you're flying all day long and and if for any women out there, they're more sensitive to this than anyone, and know if you have uncomfortable clothing on, and to try to smile and be happy, it's not a good thing. So they did that one simple thing and reduced their customer complaints. A more recent example with Starbucks. Starbucks has been doing tremendously well, and the last 2 years they plummeted. Howard came back and said, "We lost focus on the employees." And that's his whole strategy for rebuilding Starbucks, is we have to empower the employees. We have to make them passionate again about serving the customer. You cannot get to the heart of the customer without going through the employee. Absolutely no way.
So if you're noticing a decline in customer service, or even if you're just starting to you know, wrap your hands around this issue as a business owner, the best thing to do, sounds like from your book, is to start with the employee and asking them questions and let them provide some input, because they're the ones who are dealing with the customers all the time.
You're right, Donna. And I give and have worked with entrepreneurs in Fortune 100 companies, and we go through 6.5 simple steps that cost literally no money except time and a genuine commitment to take the feedback. And we take them through 6.5 steps on how to get your customer service back on track and to deliver world-class customer service.
And I know those steps are detailed in your book. What would you say is the first and simplest one that anybody really just starting to embrace this issue should start with?
It's called side-by-side walking. Side-by-side walking says, I want to spend the day on the front line with my employees and understand from start to finish what they actually go through and what they actually encounter. People who come away from that experience say, wow, the policies that we've implemented really hurt the customer service. Wow, the technology that we have out here is slow. Wow, employees really don't like this new product that we think is the greatest thing since sliced bread. And they come away with a lot of wow moments saying, what we've created is disconnected from what really happens on the front line. And you can
leaders really got to roll up their sleeves and get in there, in the chair next to their employee, and see it happen as it happens.
Absolutely.
Well, that's a great place to start. You know, Michael, all this conversation and your background leads me to ask you some questions a little bit to kind of familiarize our listeners with where you came from in your transition from traditional corporate America jobs to what you're doing right now. What would that transition been like for you? Because that's what most of our listeners are doing.
Well, I'll take you back really, really quickly. I started and working my way through high school, actually junior high school, selling candy out of a little pail. And I would and the principal got upset because I was disturbing the pre-class time and the post-class time because the students were crowded around trying to buy things. And I would understand what it was they liked, and I had the best sellers. And was making, got myself through high school and part of my way through college with this small business. Went into corporate America, worked for Fortune 100 companies, really out on the front line, leading businesses, leading retail businesses, leading B2B businesses, and really decided that I want to have a greater impact outside of corporate America. I don't want to be so tied to corporate America. I want to take this vision broader. I want to still work within corporate America, but I also want to take this broader and begin to influence and help other people, especially entrepreneurs, who I see so many people's dreams just kind of go down within 6 months. And it's actually heartbreaking because they've invested their time and they really feel like, I'm ready to go out and make it happen. And in 95% of the cases, the reason they have failed is because of the customer service.
Well, I'm so glad you said that, because the indie business owners really are in a position where, you know, all the greatest experts are at all the corporate gatherings, and they just left corporate America last year. So that's why you're such a wonderful guest, and I'm so excited to have you here. Michael, customer service seems so obvious. Why do people struggle with this issue? Why are they afraid of, you know, everybody wants good customer service, but it seems like the actual process of delivering it is just scary to some people. Why do you think that is? It would seem to me it's second nature for people to deliver good customer service. Have you found that that's the case? Is training really necessary, or can you just, like, you know, close your eyes and be nice to people and call it a day?
Most people will tell you that our customer service is A1. Because what they use to measure customer service is, well, when I'm there, things are fantastic.
That's like saying, I have no competitors.
No, I'm fine. But they've never gone by the business on a Saturday. They've never gone by the business in the evening. They've never gone out of to the business in the non-traditional times when they're not normally there. So things look fine. And you get so busy with, I'm trying to think about the next product, I'm trying to work on the next business plan, that we don't take the time to appreciate the people who have our millions of dollars of investment on the front line. And we lose focus of it. It's oh, these people can't, I mean, they're my employees there. Of course they're doing what I tell them to do, and things are fine. But we don't take that time to say, let me really see how competitive my customer service is, and let me call my store at 7 o'clock at night, or let me send myself at my customer service department an email and see how quick they come back to me.
And for some indie business owners, Michael, who don't have a staff, it could be as simple as going on your website and pretending like you're a customer and seeing what the customer service is like.
Exactly. Or if you're in the business by yourself, put on a regular uniform one day so people will think that you're the employee.
Mm-hmm.
They will give you, the customers will give you an earful. They don't really want to tell you. You're the owner. So people are not as open to you. But they tell employees everything. And guess what else happened? The employees will tell you everything.
Right.
Send one of your friends into the store one day and say, you know, how is it to work here?
What is your thought, Michael, on indie business owners, again, who are wearing so many hats, and most of our audience today are cosmetics manufacturers, and for the most part, they spend most of the day in a manufacturing facility. They may have some manufacturing help, but they don't always help dealing with the customer. What are some solutions for them? Would you think, for example, that engaging like a virtual assistant or someone who could kind of be their assistant even though they're not fully in the office and kind of help them wrap their hands around this customer service issue if they can't do it themselves personally?
I think that there's a couple of processes. First is to sit down and say, this is the customer experience I want every one of my customers to experience.
Uh-huh.
We don't often define that. We just say we want to get great customer service.
Uh-huh.
Well, what does that entail? And then begin to say, well, I can't, if my customer experience has 12 parts, well, these are the two that I'm capable of delivering.
Uh-huh.
Here are the gaps that I have. I'm either going to go out and get some assistance.
Okay.
And close those gaps, or I'm going to bring in someone else. But understanding what that customer service experience is, what are my gaps, and how am I going to close them, either with myself or with bringing in some other resources.
And if somebody is actually hiring their first customer service representative, what are some of the things that they need to interview that person about? What are some of the qualities that you look for in a person who's going to be heading your customer service department?
I never talk about, and I challenge people, never talk about the job for the first 30 minutes. You don't want to talk about your company. You don't want to talk about anything except what makes you happy.
That's really interesting. Now, what do you get out of that?
Because you are trying to find out where their passion is. Because you can spend a lot of money training people, and they're not passionate about cosmetics. They may be a naturalist. They think cosmetics destroy the earth. They think you should not wear makeup.
Right.
But what they need at this point is for you to fill a financial void.
So if someone walks into your office in response to your ad in the paper and it's clear that all they want is a job, which is a legitimate reason to be there, obviously, you know, they have to eat. You're saying that if they kind of, you know, answer your questions about their passions and stuff with sort of really short shrift and they're like, look, how much does it pay? What are the benefits? I'll be here every day. That's not the kind of person you want to hire?
Well, you have to think about it. If they say, I need to get a job and make money, well, chances are you're not paying a whole lot of money. You're not going to be able to totally meet their financial need. If it's only financials that they're coming to you, they're going to eventually leave you or get a second job. If you can, and that's why people at Starbucks are so passionate, and that's why people at Kinko's are such good employees. They actually like this stuff. So you'll notice the kind of people that Starbucks has. They are in love with coffee.
But how can you excite people and make them passionate when you can't offer health insurance and when you can't offer some of these kinds of perks? How do you excite and instill passion about your business and your industry in someone when you can't really offer any perks?
You create an environment that they want to come to, and you don't hire out of desperation.
Make it fun and interesting, teach some things.
Exactly. A number of employees will tell you, I know that I'm not going to make a lot of money here, but when I come here, I'm learning a new skill.
One of my members has pajama parties in the office every couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody gets to come in, wear their pajamas, and bring their daughters, and they just have like a slumber party, and they eat pizza and watch movies all night. But mm-hmm. Obviously, everyone can't do that, but that's the kind of thing that makes it fun to work there.
Absolutely, you know, I've had thousands of employees, and I meant this very sincerely. If you leave me today, I'm okay. If you leave me today and say that, Michael, I'm no better off than when I started here, I'd feel awful. If you leave me today and say, Michael, I'm going to better myself, and what I learned from you really helped me grow.
Uh-huh.
That I'm excited about, because I make a commitment up front that I want to make an investment in helping you better yourself and achieve your passion and your desires. And what they feel from that is, this guy really cares about me. I'm going to go the extra mile for him.
Uh-huh.
And it's those small things. When I had direct employees, I had everybody's birthday in my BlackBerry, no matter where I was in the country. I call them.
Wow.
And do you know people to this day still look for that call?
When you were managing hundreds of people, you did that?
Absolutely. And my BlackBerry. It was my commitment to them that I think enough of you to take time out of my day to call you.
Wow, that's amazing.
But I've taken businesses that were almost on the brink of bankruptcy
mm-hmm.
to 45-50% increases. And there's nothing else that you can attribute it to than the folks who were on the front line who said, I'm going to sell more today. I'm going to do more. I believe in the business. I thank you for what you did for me.
Well, I remember when I worked at a law firm quite some years ago, every birthday we would get a small but very beautiful arrangement of flowers, and I always thought that was really nice. I don't know what the guys get. They sent them something else, but the women always got these beautiful flowers, and I always felt really good about being there, even though I hated the job. I felt good about the fact that they were trying to reach out to me, is what I mean. And so, I was willing, as you say, to go a little bit further, even though I really didn't like what I was doing at the time. So you're right. I mean, in my own personal experience, I've seen that. We're going to take another break and come back and talk with Michael D. Brown some more. He is the author of Fresh Customer Service. I want to encourage you to visit his website at themichaeldbrown.com. It's a great website filled with wonderful information, and you guys are going to love the cover of his book. It just looks fresh, which I guess is the whole point. TheMichaelDBrown.com. This is Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Now, Michael, you were telling me, we're talking, by the way, with Michael D. Brown, who's so interesting, I forgot to come back and tell you who we were talking with. I have another question for him. And by the way, if you have a question for him, you can queue it up at 800-773-0355. Perhaps you're having some customer service challenges or just want to make a comment about some of the suggestions that Michael has made. Michael, you have a real passion for helping entrepreneurs and indie business owners who are doing everything to kind of really, really work on this issue. And you said you've helped businesses come back from bankruptcy. Where does that passion come from, and how have you seen it realized since your publication of this book?
I'm very, very passionate about it, and there's nothing greater in life than to do what you're passionate about, and it becomes your business. So it is, and I have an answer, and not a lot of problems in businesses. We have an answer that works, and fresh customer service actually works. I have a guy who worked directly for me who called me 2 years ago and opened his first Dunkin' Donuts franchise. He's number one in the country, and I got a text email from him on last week. He's on number five, has 105 employees who he uses fresh customer service, and the franchises all across the country are knocking on his door to say, please buy my brand.
Wow.
Because he really has taken that to heart. I tell you, the entrepreneurs have a very, very special place now that can really work, because the economy has gone haywire. Large corporations, their first inclination is, let's cut people. Well, in the haste to cut people, they cut the experience. We as entrepreneurs have a time now to say, I'm going to stay on point with my customer experience. Customers are frustrated. They're tired of the way they're being treated, and I'm going to be an open door for them. And they're going to come to me, and they're going to see a remarkable difference in what they can get at big box retailers or other competitors.
Because, and you know, not only that, Michael, but those employers who are letting those people go need to come out into the marketplace more and more, I believe, and start a business of their own.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they need to do, as well as perfecting the product or the service they're selling and launching a website, is put an infrastructure in place so they have this kind of fresh customer service that you're talking about, even if they don't have employees. They've got to do that. So with technology, Michael, since so many people who are starting businesses today are trying to maximize the use of technology, what are some ways that you would suggest that we be able to do that, to implement some of your fresh customer service principles?
I think you need to have the right technology. And anything you do in the business, say, is this going to help or hinder the customer experience?
One of the things you mentioned was using your BlackBerry to call your employees. Is that something that, like, if you had hundreds of employees, certainly, you know, some small business owners may have 100 customers that are repeat customers, and that's a lot for some people when they're first starting out. Would you suggest even just asking them to put their birth date in when they place an order and giving them a call or shooting them an email when it's their birthday?
My dentist has, I'm sure, thousands of customers, and I get a handwritten note. Does he write the note? Probably not. I'm sure one of his assistants writes the notes.
Right.
But I got a card in the mail that says, happy birthday, and here's a 15% discount to celebrate you getting older.
Needing more dental help.
Yeah, more dental help. It's the small things that make the big difference. There, nobody has a monopoly on products and services anymore. The only way you can differentiate yourself is through the experience. That's what Starbucks figured out.
And we can use technology to do that. If we don't have an assistant, can't write the note by hand or have someone do it by hand, if you've got someone's email address, how easy is it to send a happy birthday note or a happy anniversary if you sell wedding products or whatever it might be?
And I tell you, and I hate to keep using Starbucks, but I actually like Howard as a good friend. We have to move with the times. The customers that are coming to us today are technology savvy. If you're not doing social networking or have your place someplace out there, people will make that decision to come to you. When you say, I am Mary Jo's Cosmetics, the first thing the generation that we're dealing with now in our customer base is say, what's your website?
Right.
And that's where the experience starts. And if you don't have that experience online to get them to the door, and those have to connect in every way, you don't get the customers.
And you mean having more than just a website, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. You need to be blogging. You need to be on some social networking. You need to be, if it's MySpace or Facebook, have at least a presence there, because what that does is helps your Google search, and it helps people to see. This is a generation we're dealing with. Starbucks has figured that out. They had to stop charging for Wi-Fi and connected it to their rewards card. So if you're a rewards member, you get 2 hours of Wi-Fi for free, and as part of this club, you get free syrups and those things in your coffee.
I'm so glad they did that. They used to be right across, where I used to live, they were right across the street from another coffee house, which I didn't like as much, but they had free Wi-Fi right across the street. I was like, when are they going to wise up to this?
Exactly. The customers today want you to make an investment in them and the experience. Is it giving them a free tip? Is it giving them a free newsletter? Is it giving them a free sample? Is it giving them an experience that they can't get anyplace else when they walk in your door or shop your virtual store?
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because I got an email this morning from a public relations service. I can't remember exactly what all the details were, but the subject line said something like, come to our teleseminar training, how to reach thousands of customers at one time. And I thought to myself, well, get a MySpace page, get a YouTube page. I thought, you know, if you have, as you just suggested, if you build all these mechanisms into your brand, Michael, is what you're saying that that is a part of customer service, that when people find you at MySpace or when they find you at YouTube or whatever it might be, that that's a part of serving them, even though their first finding out about you is really just a matter of getting them into your queue so that you can contact them at some point.
Exactly. Why, at this point in time, why would we want to hide from the customer? If you make it difficult for a customer to find you, they're not going to go through the work.
Right, and I guess that's true even if they've found you once before, because their attention spans are so limited that they'll forget about you unless you're in front of them again in a short period of time.
Mm-hmm. It's the customers we're dealing with today, and it's the customers that we must fall in love with and stay fresh with understanding. Mm-hmm. What are their needs? How do we best reach them? And how do we deliver them a value-added experience? That's what people are going to want to spend their hard-earned, limited amount of money on.
Right. Something more than just the minimum. Michael, is it true that the customer's always right?
The customer is always right.
What if the customer's wrong?
The customer's never wrong.
Okay. Tell me about that.
They're never wrong. The customer is right in that they're giving us suggestions on how to make improvements.
Okay, they're not right in the sense that we have to change our policy to give them what they want if it's not our policy?
You know, I never tell a customer, and I tell people this, if a customer comes to you with a problem, they have a right to bring the problem to you.
Right.
Now, the solution is in your hand on what you do for it.
Mm-hmm.
What most customers want from you is just to acknowledge me, and you know the first thing that I say back to them, what can I do to make you happy?
Right, right. And then that also, does it not put the onus back on them to really define what it is they want?
Absolutely. And nine times out of
ten, not be complaining.
Absolutely. And they will come back because they're shocked at, oh, my goodness, you're putting the power back in my hands. And what they want is usually very minimum. Here's where we mess up, is when we put employees on the front line who are not empowered and equipped to solve the problem, they say, well, I need to get a manager or I can't do anything about it. It's just infuriating them. It's telling them that I'm wrong. You don't recognize that I have a problem.
Right.
But the quicker you can dispel that problem with the frontline employee, they're saying, okay, at least you try to help me. I'm not going to yell. I'm not going to scream and let everybody else hear me. But you try to help me. They know you can't. That you're in business to make money, and you can't give them a Mercedes. They know
right.
that.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes you wonder, but I guess it kind of brings us full circle to that experience that you had. I mean, I know you had many, but the one we talked about at the top of the show, where you talked about how you felt like you were being mistreated, but you kind of kept your focus on, what is it that this person wants? What is it that I can do? What's within my power to make this person satisfied with the job I'm doing?
Mm-hmm. But as entrepreneurs, we get so passionate because all you're thinking is, look, I'm having a bad month. My profit margins are down, and you want me to give you something for free. Mm-hmm. That's all we're thinking in the back of our heads. We can't say, let me calm down, let me hear them, and let me put a smile on my face, because it's hard to argue. argue with somebody who's smiling. It's almost impossible.
Right.
And to say, you know, I'm going to listen and hear you out. And let us come to a compromise. It's you and I, the customer, to say, what will it take to make you happy? But as entrepreneurs, we want to fight.
Right. One of the things you mentioned, too, as indie business owners, especially, we have to be careful not to get defensive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because what you're thinking is, look, I've waited all my life to start this business. My sweat and tears
right.
here, and I've been here for 16 hours a day, and you're not going to tell me that I'm doing something wrong.
Right. Right. And so by asking a person what is it that would make you happy doesn't mean that you necessarily have to give that to them.
No, because what you do then is they have set the highest benchmark for you,
mm-hmm.
and you begin to give them alternative solutions. That's one of the things in the book called the What If Arsenal. If
right.
a customer has this problem, here are some things that we can do to satisfy their problems quickly.
Right.
So most of the problems that our customers have, if you're in the cosmetic industry or whatever, the problems are the same. No revolutionary problems come up every day. They're usually the same complaints.
Right.
And now we should be learning from those and minimize the time that they're repeated. But we should have a solution that we can come off right after they set the benchmark for us is, I want this, and you're saying, what if I do this, and what if I give you a coupon to come back and you get 10% off?
Right.
What is so you gave them a little bit of something that cost you money, and then you gave them something to bring them back for you to please them again.
Mm-hmm. And so you really don't have to, like, you know, twist your body and your business into all kinds of contortions and only focus on what they're asking for. Focus on what it is that they want, maybe different from what they're asking for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting way to kind of process that, and it's very helpful, too, because so often, you know, we're in the middle of a work day, we have 5,000 orders to get out, or hopefully we have 5,000 orders to get out, and we're doing everything ourselves or with a little bit of help, and then one of our, you know, someone calls, and it's maybe not a big customer, it's a small customer, but they think they have a big problem. And so you've got to stop everything and take care of that person just like you would a larger customer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So what you're saying is very helpful, because we empower them by getting them to tell us what they want, but we also empower ourselves by finding out more about what they want and then being to offer alternatives. Like you said, well, what if I did this? What if I did that?
Exactly. And if you have employees, that you're giving them that same level of understanding so they don't bother you with every customer complaint. Because the
right.
longer the customer has to wait, they're going to tell you once you finally get to them, I've been waiting for 4 days and 6 nights.
Right.
Even though it's been 5 minutes, because it seems like an
Well, I've been on hold with elevator music for 20 minutes. Michael, you do a lot of speaking around the country. Tell us a little bit about how you choose where to go and where we can go to get your schedule. Where are you going to be next so we can get this fresh customer service message?
You know, I'm at a point now, thank God for it, is I am... In terms of client, I'm one-on-one in selecting clients to work with. I'm because for me, customer service is very important. So you send me an email with a issue that you want me to work on, and I'm very honest up front. You get a free hour of coaching, and we determine together if I'm a right fit for you. I'm not a mass-produced consultant who will just take on everything, because it needs to be a fit, and I need to have something in the arsenal that's going to give you what you want at the end of the day. So that's the consulting side of it, and the speaking is for associations, and a lot of private functions have a huge coaching piece.
Uh-huh.
I have about 7 entrepreneurs now who are in some detailed coaching. One who just opened up a very, very nice wine tasting bar. I'll tell you guys about that the next time we talk. You have to try them out. So I wouldn't say selective, but I want to make sure there's a match.
Have we missed our chance to see you speak?
You have.
We have missed our chance. You got to go to themichaeldbrown.com, get a copy of his book, read it, and then when you email him, he will already know that you know some of his best, his 6 steps. Is it 6 or 7, Michael? I
6.5 steps.
6.5. Well, how come I couldn't remember that? 6.5 steps to fresh customer service, and then I bet you can probably get into his queue. But, Michael, we will continue to visit your website to see if you do have book signings and things like that. Where are you based?
I'm based out of Houston and California.
Okay.
But I tell you what I will do, Donna, for your listeners. If they send me an email after they've bought the book, or if they have a question, I'm more than happy to give them 20 minutes of coaching on any subject they want to talk about. So they can send me an email and say, we heard you on Indy, and I'll be happy to arrange some time with them. I'll do that.
All right. Well, I'll make sure that, well, we'll tell them right now. What email address should we use, Michael?
You can go to www.freshcustomerservice.com.
Okay.
You can go to themichaeldbrown.com that you've talked about, and there'll be a contact page on there. And put Indy in the subject line, and we will know that you're one of the people that we want to honor a free coaching. And that will be actually with me. You won't get someone else. You'll actually talk directly with me.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for that. And you guys, when you go to themichaeldbrown.com, click on the downloads link, because there's some great free downloads that Michael offers at his website that are really, really empowering to help anybody at any stage in their business to really be able to come out of the blocks or even just revise things so you can be offering fresh customer service that's so important today. Michael, I can't believe we've come to the end of our time together. I'm so excited that you joined us, and your insights are, you know, they're fresh. It's not the same old stuff that we hear all the time, and that's what makes it so, so valuable. So
great.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Donna.
Everybody go to themichaeldbrown.com, have a look around, get the book, and then email Michael through the website. We've got some great shows coming up on June 16th next week. Jeff Wario will be here. He's the author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to Retirement Planning, and he's going to be telling us how we can make our small business retirement planning happen without all the stress. And then I've got some other great guests coming up throughout the summer, wonderful shows you're going to want to tune into. We've got a guest who's going to talk about how we can use white papers to influence customers and increase sales. We've got another guest who's going to share with us his take on the New World PR, how to promote your business without going broke, and even bypass a lot of the high publicist fees that you get so annoyed about having to spend. And then we've got another expert in social web marketing who's going to talk with us about why and how every business needs to incorporate digital socialization into their marketing plan or die. And that's what he says will happen if you don't do that. So please visit indiebusinessradio.com. Make sure that you know what the schedule is so you can tune in. And also, of course, you know indiebusinessradio.com has hundreds of shows that you can download for free wherever you are or stream from your desktop. These are the best, most trusted experts and friends that I have who can help you grow your business. I'll see you next week when we have Jeff Wario to talk about small business retirement planning. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.